You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmitz.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on a good-looking Monday morning. 80 degrees in Green Bay, 79 in Appleton, 78 in Oshkosh. I lost a $20 bet to Jim this morning because I did not think we ever hit over 100 degrees in Green Bay, but Brittany Merlot said, yes, we have. So,
and then we're working on the second $20 bet. Why would you win at the track yesterday?
I almost, you know what? I was going to go to Oneida to bet on the NBA game last night. I would have won.
So would I. Yeah, I would have won.
Got some text here. William says 1,400 people did the Ironman in Rockford, Illinois yesterday.
Wow.
Mike says, when I was in the Navy, I spent two tours in the Persian Gulf. I remember one time going through the Straits of Hormuz, and it was 125 degrees as we started the third level of the ship. I never knew it could get that hot.
Yeah.
125 degrees.
That's hot.
Sarah says, save the change for a self-checkout. All right, Sarah.
Got plenty.
Todd says, go to Capital Credit Union and Fox Communities. They will
see,
take the change.
Those credit unions, they try hard. They work hard. So that's $40 I want today. This is good. What else? What are things you thinking?
Well, I'll tell you what. Dave Depre, who just walked in through the door, cost me $20 because he verified the change thing.
Dave, thank you, Dave.
It's been good having you on. Thanks for coming in.
Right. Thanks.
Goodbye.
For
see
Dave,
you
I'm going to donate $20 to you because that's
awesome.
I'll tell you what, Joe Vertigan put us in. You and I go way back, but man, you've got an interesting
life.
A lot more than us.
I'm
like
lucky.
I said, Jim, you know, I went to Ribfest and I bought a 6-pack of Summer Shandy, and that was my weekend. And Jim went to graduations or different things. And you just came back from Pocono, or the big NASCAR race. Tell us about your life, your experience in an exciting field.
Especially after,
after working my real job?
After being a prison guard.
You're enjoying retirement like no one else.
Well, like I said, with COVID, post-COVID, I was able to retire with my age and the years I had service. So I saw the light.
And that was here.
In Green Bay.
Yep.
But I've been involved in auto racing my whole life. And I met Joe Vertigan through the prison.
Right.
But I was able to get a spotter job down at Road America for a NASCAR team because I had worked at tracks. And hey,
tell people what that is.
You're basically the eyes for the driver.
Right.
And with such a big track there, you have to have three spotters.
Well, you can't see the whole thing.
No.
Yeah.
So you have to somebody to cover corners and whatnot. So I had an opportunity to do that. And I was like, well, this is great. I want to do some more.
Where are you when you're spotting?
There they put you in different positions. You have to have one spot where...
Are you on the level or are you up on
one of those? You're up high somewhere.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, but you're required at every track they have.
Right.
You're with the NASCAR officials.
I want to get up there sometime. This is a guy who watches that. That'd be a cool angle. Anyway, go ahead.
I did that for the first year, helping out a team out of South Carolina. And so I said, I can do more. So the next year I did 13, but I just started helping on the car because I was way out of my league. Because on some of the tracks I got to Indy. They put me up in a great big pagoda, if you've been there. And I said, I can't do this here. I said, I'm going to kill your driver. I wasn't ready for that. And by any means, I mean, the spotter is such an important job.
No, I just want to say one thing, Dave. I think two sports that television doesn't do justice. Pro hockey and racing, big time racing, okay?
Correct.
And because the speed of both sports is unbelievable. If anybody could go to Road America and get on that bridge that goes across right from the press box and stand above there and watch these cars go by underneath you,
correct,
you'll have such a different appreciation for what these people do. It's incredible. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. Well, when I worked for a short track team years ago in the 90s, I had to end up giving up traveling with that. So I became an official, which Joe got me into that. I became a flagman.
Yeah.
So I did that for about 24 years. And standing in that flag tower, and having the cars.
Yeah.
And the WIRs, the,
yeah.
Even on the dirt track with the wing sprint cars. It is amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes right through your body.
Yeah, it does. It goes right through your legs, right through your body. Yeah. Yep.
The ultimate way to understand it is to be in the car. We did a mayor's conference in Indianapolis one time and they took us out and that's crazy.
Yep.
And I'm sure you've been in the car.
I raced one race in my entire life and Joe put me up to it. I think you were in that race at 141 and I was supposed to be in the fireman and police race the week before. And then there was the media race.
Yeah.
So Joe put me up as Dave Daniels of WXYZ.
Did I win?
I led every lap but one. And it was a driver that was an actual driver before. Well, he punted me into the corner on the very last
lap. I got to tell you something, though. It's funny because people are like, oh, my God, you're only going like 30 miles an hour. No, we were going like 75 or whatever, and it felt like you were hanging on for dear life.
Yeah.
Wasn't it, though? It was like a whole different feeling when you're inside that car.
I was ready to give my heart and my wallet to the owner of the car. I said, I'll pay for it. I want to do it again.
Yep, absolutely. What a great career, though.
How fun.
Sidelight you've got.
Well, I'm now into my seventh year with NASCAR stuff.
Right.
And I work for a team out of Florida, Lake Wales, Florida. Mario Gosselin Racing. Oh. He's really a Canadian driver. They move families all down in Florida. And it's a husband and a wife. And they have two daughters that they run this team it's David versus Goliath every weekend.
Wow.
And it's amazing. And I'm blessed every week to be able to do it. So
that's awesome.
So there's probably people listening who would love your job right now.
There's some, and I try to give them the direction.
Okay, I would love your job right now.
But what I would say about, and I said this before we went on the air, I think the racing industry is super friendly.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's like, I told them it's like going to a tailgate party every race.
Yeah.
Well, you want a beer?
It's like, sure. Well, like a week ago, we were just racing in Mexico City. NASCAR took the top two tier leagues, the Cup and the Xfinity Series down there. It was amazing, but people were really against it. Everybody was apprehensive going out of the country.
Yeah.
So it turned out to be great, 90% great. There were some snafus, a little travel here and there, but a few people with the food. But it was awesome. And
I've always felt that the two of all the interviews I've done in covering sports over my lifetime, the two groups of people that are like the most genuinely nice are hockey players and race car drivers. And I really and truly mean that.
I still play hockey too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I play in a senior league on Sunday night at Cornerstone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. 35 and older.
Nice.
I'm 58.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And I'm gonna talk about the racing. I'll talk about you, but I just want to say that we talk about active seniors, how socialization is something that we have to do more of, and be it volunteering or you get paid, but I mean volunteering at a community event or being in a senior hockey thing, but. Because that isolation is right up there with cancer. It's very, very, very serious and depression.
Yeah.
So,
I
mean, you're a good example of how to live life after.
You have to. I'm lucky. I'm blessed every day. Like, I'm a military vet.
Yeah.
I did that 5 days after high school. I saw some stuff, learned some stuff, got out, worked in the prison for 30 years, saw way too much stuff.
Right.
And then things happened. We all go through things in life and you build up and you survive it and you keep moving on and.
People don't realize, with NASCAR, though, I mean, those guys are rock stars when they show up at a place, aren't they?
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it's humbling at the same time. I'm like, how am I being able to rub elbows with all these people? Like, with Emmett Smith in our pit box. He's associated with another gentleman.
Mike Stepak from Green Bay here. He worked NASCAR for many, many years for Fox. And he says the same thing. These guys are rolling rock stars when they come into town.
It's pretty cool. And it's honorable and it's fun and I just love it. And people are like, how do you like doing this? It's hard work. These guys that are full time, they work their tails off. They really do.
There's a very small margin of error, isn't there?
Yeah. You don't want to leave a nut or a bolt loose on something. Right. And so that's why I limit myself what I do on the cars.
Right.
And they know that. And I'm a support role, kind of like a linebacker in a kitchen. Make sure everything's where it needs to be. And I'm like, they call me the tape guru. Kind of guy.
Make sure everything is like specific.
Oh,
don't get fined.
If the boss needs something, because I'm working for the crew chiefs, if he needs something, I want to make sure I have the right tool ready for him when he needs it. So,
couple of questions. How many people are on that team? So, who's your driver?
Right now we have Ryan Ellis.
Okay.
And we have two cars with the potential of having four because the team owns the number. So some days you'll have, like Daytona, we had Natalie Decker last year, and we had two other drivers. So Josh Blicky from down by Milwaukee and Hubertus area, he drives 75% of the other car, and then they switch it up. Guys bring sponsorship and
right
to the game. But like I said, to be a car owner in that league alone, I don't know how they do it. And I ask them, my boss, every week.
The money-wise?
Yeah.
Right.
They're even to bring me along, and I'm
right.
You know.
Yeah. And then what else? I want to ask you something else about that. I'll go back. I got to think about that. I want to talk about the industry. Like, you guys have bigger stadiums than NFL stadiums.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is it people still loving it?
Oh yeah. I mean, you go to, it has changed, but you used to go to Bristol.
It's gotten expensive.
It is.
Hasn't it though? Yeah. I mean, I remember I used to go to some races when I lived in Phoenix, in Arizona. We had the PIR, Phoenix International Raceway, and the different thing. And it was like $5 or whatever. And now I got buddies that, you know, used to travel around and follow certain guys. Because I will say this, that's one of those sports where you've got a guy and you follow them. And they're talking about Chicago and some of these places. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's an expensive ticket.
We're in Chicago for the 4th of July this weekend.
Are you?
It's our third year.
Wow.
Yeah, the street course they're putting it together right now.
So, okay, that's where you go through the city.
Correct.
Yeah, that's a very, very popular race. Yeah. Oh, well, my God.
Everybody was against it in the beginning.
Yeah.
But until you experience it.
Well, Detroit did that too.
Well, yeah.
I remember when Detroit did that and people were like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Well, that's kind of the way Elkhart like started, and they would race through the city.
Yeah, that was many many moons ago.
Yes,
there.
Yes.
Oh wow.
That's why they still do that parade.
They
through Elkhart with the race cars.
And it's six deep. The people that come out for that, and that's only 900 people in that whole city, but they get thousands of people there for that race.
I'm hoping to get NASCAR to go back there because they left a couple years ago.
Yeah, they did.
Chicago took that date, but that place was just packed.
I used to love covering that. Actually, the two things I loved the most covering at Road America was when the Indy cars. I'd be interviewing, like, I remember I interviewed Paul Newman.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Mario Andretti. And it's like, this is really cool.
I was with my nephew at Elkhart, and we met Mario because he did a school report on him. Okay. And he actually did a phone interview with him, met him, and what a swell guy.
Great guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tiny. A lot of those racers are so small, aren't they?
You got to be a jockey.
You got to be, But I'll tell you what, the courage, I don't care what anybody says about sports, the courage it takes to get into one of those cars and go 200 miles an hour is unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's like the guy I travel with every week, he's from down by the Rockford area, Rob Goodman, and he works for a Chevy dealership. He makes sure I don't get on the wrong airplane. That's why I always say that one. And, he raced, and I hear the stories, and he built this car from scratch, and then you're putting your butt in that seat.
Yeah.
And it's like, my gosh.
Yeah.
So, but all these drivers and the cars, and it's so big that, you know, your local, so many guys from this area can actually go do that.
Yeah.
So, but it's tough to make a living though, doing that stuff.
Well, it's, you know, there are so many cars in these fields these days though, huh?
I think
there's too many. What do you think?
At our division league, I don't know about that.
Okay.
But because, you know, the guaranteed fields are in the cup thing with these charters and the money that they get. It's like unbelievable. So for us, there's usually average of like two or three cars that go home.
Okay.
Because you don't qualify because they only limit you so many to start.
My brother's he lives in Tucson. He's a big follower. There's a kid from Tucson that's in the cup now. And just following him, it's like, it's people don't understand the journey just to be in that field on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. And some of the young guys coming in now don't understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, how hard.
Would break. Oh, we're going to go to break. I want to talk about women
this is
in racing, too, when we come back.
Okay.
Dave Dupree, back right after this.
There was this letter I read. If you like pina colada.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mayor here. Good looking in Monday morning. 80 degrees in Green Bay, 79 in Appleton, 78 in Oshkosh. High in the high 80s today, and maybe some really nasty storms coming in. We're with a really interesting guy, Dave Depry. We go way back, prison guard, and works for NASCAR, which I just think is awesome. I mean, it's like, man, I'm so jealous of what a great weekend job you have, my friend.
It's us telling him at break. It's like, probably everybody would like his job.
Everybody would love this job.
How did you get into that? And talk a little bit about your dad. That you had this as you were a kid, right? In high school?
Yeah, my dad. My grandpa was a mechanic on the north side of town. He worked on all the Packer players' cars. Because if he can't fix it, nobody can, kind of thing. So my cousin, Craig Letourneau, from Green Bay, worked at Keene Buick. He raced, so I got to be a little kid, get my hands dirty. Well, then as the time progressed, I went out of high school, went to the military, got out, started helping again. So my cousin backed out of it because cost of racing got to be so much.
Yeah.
Well, then I was able to link up with a guy out of Minnesota named Jim Weber. You remember him from
WR?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Said, hey, need any help? He goes, what can you do? I said, put gas in your car. I can tighten your lug nuts, grab a hold. So it started there, did that, helped him for 5 years. Then I had to quit traveling. So Joel Vergen, I met him at the prison. Says, hey, you know, they're looking for official jobs, spotters and whatnot. So I go, okay, I did that. So I don't have to, I can be home every night. So then, hey, you want to be a, they need a flagman. So then I went to Chilton, then I went to Seymour, then Luxembourg, and just, it took off. I was doing 3 to 4 nights a week traveling with Joel.
I love those small tracks.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the flagman, the checkered flag, the caution flag, that's all you?
Yeah.
So who's, Jim used to go to 141 in high school just to chase chicks.
Yeah.
And he admits it.
Was there any pizzas thrown up on the ceiling? I heard stories about that place.
What? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That flagman.
Joe, tell you about the time he had to control me from going down after my producer. You ever tell you that
story? No. Okay, I'm going to hear it, though. That's
Any nerves with that? Because you're listening to somebody telling you, and there's got to be a little pressure with that, because if you do that wrong, it's like, ooh,
you're definitely, it's a pucker moment. And as technology moved on, the receivers, they call them, every driver has communication in their ear. And someone up in the scoring tower saying, hey, there's a caution or whatnot, they help you out. Well, when that first started out, I had the headset with that and talking. So one button on one side and the other on the other. And you're going to green next time by, and you got to get your stuff together. And you know. But the best thing with that, you have to talk to the drivers after the race. If they're mad at you, they're coming at you.
Right.
So my policy was, I will. If you hit me, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to press charges.
You know what's funny about that is those guys are so unbelievably competitive, okay?
Yeah.
But before a race, if somebody needs a part or whatever, everybody will help.
For the most part.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Beforehand, they're all great. But then once that flag goes down, unbelievably competitive.
And then it's later on, if something happens with that driver you helped.
Right.
Don't ever do that again.
There'll be a fight in the pits. Yeah.
It can happen.
Why would a driver be upset with the flag man?
For a call, or I didn't see somebody. A guy way over another corner hit me somewhere here, there. You missed this. And I'm like, but back then, that's where the starter, that's what you called it, the official, was. You called me at all. You made all the calls.
Wow.
And it's on you. So, and I was like, got to learning after a couple guys get in your face and they're hot. They just got out of a race car. It's 130 degrees and spitting a little bit. And you know, maybe they've had time to cool off before I got an hour more to work, and they come and jump on you right at the end of the night. So you give them a half an hour to cool off, talk. I said, we'll talk about it. And after that, and if you've been drinking a beer or two already, so you better have one for me, or we're just going to be done here.
Okay, so. I'm going to say this though too, because I covered racing for a lot of years. Some guys are just jerks.
I don't know.
Some are as a person.
We all come from different areas.
There's a couple.
Look how nice this guy is.
I could throw in a couple of names, and you would agree.
They could be mean and nasty, but I don't know. I look, you're being the official. You got to. I judge everybody equally. Working in the joint, you had to. Treat everything buddy equally.
So tell us, we got so many things we could talk to you about today. Tell us about being a prison guard.
I needed a job with a benefit plan to take care of my family when I got out of service.
Sure.
Okay.
So, and back at $8.09 an hour. Yeah. When I first started, 1990. Wow. And I'm like, I could do this. I was a police officer, cop in the Air Force.
Okay.
So I'm like, I could do this. And I got my eyes opened real quick. Remember Brian Tilkey?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's another racer. Dan Lewis Photography. He was a prison. All of us worked in the prison. Tom Christensen, he was a flagman. He was my captain. So racing kind of I got accepted into that fraternity there. So
one of my great listeners from my old show, Mino and Devin Manor, Mino Nick, was a walking boss, we called him. We gave everybody a nickname. He's from Francis Creek. Because they would call us while they were working, so we had to use the a different name.
Yeah. Yes. Can I get an outside line, please? Yeah, yeah. I remember people trying to do that.
Yeah,
the career in prison, and there's openings. Right?
Yeah, they're looking a lot now.
They're looking a lot now. That's what I meant. And I don't want my knowledge. I've been through there a number of times, but is on should we keep it open or not? But I want to ask you about that. But how was that career? I mean, you went there for benefits and to take care of your family, and God bless you for that. But then you stayed for 30 years. That's a long time.
I was blessed to be on night shift. I was the fire watch. And you've seen the old prison. That's an old place. So I'd have to walk through all the buildings at night. Every creak, sound, air compressor that would go off. You know, you're looking over your shoulder like, what is this? Well, then we had a few escape attempts. And so now we got to go in the yard and look for somebody.
Were you there when the guy, Joel told us the story, a guy fashioned a rope out of dental floss?
Yeah, I was there. I was working that day. I know right where I was. Yeah, first shift. Yeah, and then we had a little guy. He had an accent, and he says he comes running in from. There's a ramp that comes into the main rotunda area. He goes, they're going over the wall. It was a pretty well planned deal.
Wow. We got to set a quick break. We'll be back with more. Dave Deprey, this is fat. We got a lot of stuff to talk to you about.
Okay.
You're cooler than Jim.
Yeah, he is.
He's cooler than us.
That doesn't take
Why
much.
Why does
you
all tell my kids guys are cooler
this guy's
than
awesome.
Us? You can
all tell
right,
my kids
back after
are.
This.
You. Do ever what you want to do, coming over you. Keep on smiling what we go through. One stop to the rhythm that divides you. And I speak to you like the chorus to the verse. Chop another line like a coda with the curse. Coming like a freak show takes the stage. We give them the games to play.
Hey, welcome back. Modern of the Mayor here. Good looking Monday morning. 80 degrees in Green Bay, 79 in Appleton, 78 in Oshkosh. High in the high 80s today. I've lost $40. Convoy.
$40 today?
Yeah. Loan me some money.
I do.
Loan me some money.
See,
for everything I've done for you.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. We'll work it out.
All right.
Go. Cool. Are you going to do that coffee run? You drink coffee? There's a great coffee shop next door.
The Creamery.
He won't. John just will pay up, and then I'll go. I'll buy the coffee.
The Creamery's good. They got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's good. I think I had some great breakfast.
Tell you something funny. So the owner, he actually owns a tire shop in Bellevue.
This is the guy next door on this way, not the Creamery.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So I'm gonna buy some tires from him. Okay. So a truck pulls up this morning, and Jim goes, "Oh, that's the owner of the car." So I go running out. I go, "Hey, where's my tires?" And the guy goes, "Excuse me, sir. I don't know what you're talking about."
It's the wrong guy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, same truck though.
So anyway, Dave Deprey, this is fascinating stuff. Tell me a little bit. Okay, we're gonna talk. We got a lot of things to talk about. And during the break here, there's some things we can't talk about. But life as a prison guard. What? Tell us about day to day. What that is like. And what are the people like that are locked up in Green Bay Correctional Facility?
Well, it's a maximum security prison.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's the minute the door slams behind you when you go to work, you have 8 hours of not knowing what's going to happen, you know, and it could happen in a second.
But that is a tough place. I mean, like as Joe says all the time, no one's in there for missing Sunday school.
Correct.
Know? I mean,
you said 8 hours, but it's actually, what, 12?
You can. No. They were doing 12s, and they're moving because of staffing shortages. They had to, you know, it's 24/7 in there, so it doesn't stop. But my thing every morning when I walked in, because I ended up being an 8-to-4 guy, and so the breakfast meal was already going on when I got in, and I could sense. Every morning I got in, if I either smelt burnt toast or mace, because you could get the smell of, like, there might have been a fight in the dining hall. That's one of the key places that when there's mass movement stuff, they'll do their stuff.
You know, I like one of the things that Joe had in his book where the prisoners were going to strike over something. They weren't going to, you know, blah, blah, blah.
The hunger strike.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, then you know what? We're canceling the bacon cheeseburger night. And then people are like, Okay, we're done.
Well, in there, it can, an example of one thing is, there's a guy that he got, they're not inmates anymore. They're persons under our care. I think they changed the name a couple times. Okay. But I've been out of there now for 4.5 years, so I'm hopefully forgetting more. The guy got beat up so bad, and he was laying on the ground.
This bleeding. Is a prisoner or guard?
A resident.
A resident, okay. A resident, yeah, that's what you call him. All right. Yeah.
And the other inmates are not going to miss a meal. They walked over the guy. They're going to the kitchen. They're eating. I'm not kidding. And the one I saw, was the guy got clubbed over the head with something. And that was a mess. That was probably one of the most gruesome messes I've ever seen. And we got to get this cleaned up. Chow's coming. Here they come. They're going to eat. We got to filter the guys in. Wow. You know?
Yeah.
You got an average of 750, 800 guys there. They want to eat.
Okay, I got a couple questions for you on that. I'm gonna get back to your racing, but I want to stick with the prison for a little while. I teach at NWTC, and students are there to get an advanced degree. Not
just,
sure.
Just want a quick thing here. Alex from Abram says it is fun to hear Davey on the radio. Alex from Munsters.
Oh my gosh! And the Munsters. Oh, I mean that
legendary family in racing.
They have done so much to help me keep on the road, Joe. All of us, right? And I'll go there. They're keeping one of my trucks together for me right now. It doesn't have much of a body left on it, but I'm going to run it and run it and run it. They've been so generous to so many people over the years of knowing them guys. So, awesome. Yeah.
But you spent 30 years in the prison. You must still have some contacts there, followed a little bit. But this is my question. Would you advise someone to look into that? Because when I see the wages, they seem acceptable to me. I mean, the average household in Green Bay, it's in $48,000, $50,000, $53,000. And you're saying that at $36 an hour, that's $72,000. Yep. Plus, the benefits are good, right? Because you get paid for your holidays and stuff, I'm sure. Yep. I don't know what the benefits are. But to me, financially, that sounds like, wow, if I was 24 years old, got a degree in something, sociology or whatever, tell me about that.
That's a carrot. Dangle that carrot in front of you. It looks good. It's a lot. A lot of money. But when I started, I did it just because we had a benefit package, sick leave, health insurance. But and then over time, you got to be there to get the money. So there that carrot's there. If you want to make the money, you can make a lot of money, but you have to be there to get it.
Is it dangerous?
Yes, I would say yes.
As a guard,
yes, because you're amongst everybody. And I survived it because I had the mindset of anybody could take a wrong turn and be there, whether it be for a heinous crime, minor crime, anybody can. And I treat everybody equally. They're still a human being. Whether I try not to know what they're coming over to see, like in the hospital area I worked, I didn't want to know what they're being seen for, as long as we behave. So I think I made it. I had a guy that mentored me a little bit towards retirement saying, win. Get out of there. You won the game. Get out.
How do you survive? Like if one of us, whatever happens and you accidentally kill somebody or whatever, how would you survive? Like, how would I survive in prison?
Do you get in there and kill somebody just to get some street cred?
I don't know. That's a whole different ballgame. It's just a can of coins.
Answer his question.
But you know what I'm saying, though? Somebody told me one time you would survive because you could be the funny guy and they love people that are entertaining. How does a normal person, average size, not like the tough guy in the cell block, how does somebody survive?
Money. If you have something to offer, I think, to the table, education wise, there's guys that were doing legal work. Mind your own business, but there's always gonna be somebody wanting to know your business. People don't, before they go there, you want to be a tough guy. You don't think of the consequences down the road. Like 2 weeks from now, I might not be going home.
I gotta tell you something. When I was out of high school, I played fast pitch softball in the UP, and the Marquette State Prison was in our league.
Oh my!
Yeah, and that's a hardcore.
That's a hard one. Yeah,
prison. That's all the guys from Detroit, the murderers from Detroit, are sent up there because I think they wanted them to be away from their element. Okay.
Yeah.
So we played phenomenal athletes. I'll be honest with you, but we would have a guard right behind us, with a semi-automatic, like carbine, but. Okay, if you the old scared straight things, we would have the cons behind our dugout talking about what they wanted to do sexually
yes.
to us if we come there. Okay.
Yeah, I've heard a few of those scared straight programs.
And it's like,
wow.
I don't care what happens. I'm not going to be this 19-year-old kid going to this prison because life is going to be really, really bad. And they were blatant about it.
Yeah.
What was going to happen.
And now you can't talk to people like that anymore.
Really?
You can't go in there. You can go in there and be counseled. They'll have honor inmate kind of groups and stuff. I don't know if they're still doing it, but the scared straight, we had that. But now these kids are soft. It's emotional. You can't do that. You can't yell at them anymore.
So there was this one con, whose name was Delicious. I'm just being totally honest with you.
Oh, no.
Okay. Looked exactly like a Lola Falana.
Okay.
Okay. And she was like coming on to me. And these other cons got so mad, it was unbelievable.
Okay. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
How would I make up a story like that?
Yeah. I mean, and there's people, and whether it be they're doing time, your mind changes, or whatever your preferences are. We had a few that were very feminine in a way, and the way they act and carried themselves.
Lola Falana. She looked just like Lola Falana.
Was it a she?
It was a guy.
Yeah. It looked like Lola Falana.
Yes.
Huh. I was coming on to you.
Yes.
Well, we had a
and they got mad because they were jealous that
she was flirting with me.
Wow.
Yep.
Yes.
That maybe Lola was their property.
You become somebody's property. Absolutely. That's what I mean.
There's stories that
Point where the guard said, "Hey, I got this cell open. If something happens, you run to that cell. We'll lock you in."
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I just got to get an answer to my question.
I was a good-looking guy.
Yeah, of course you were, John. Our quarterback. So
you're a baseball player, though, right?
Yes.
So was Lola.
Off the air, I'll ask you a question.
Oh, my God. I could tell you another story. You want me to tell you another story? Quick story. Can I tell you one more story?
Go ahead, and then I'll get to my question.
So I bunted, okay? Fast pitch supple. I bunted. I'm running to first base, and the throw was up the line. And the first baseman, this big guy, like 6'4", 6'5", his nickname was... I'll just throw. I mean, I'm not going to. His nickname was Black Bob. Okay. That's what they called
it. Okay.
So I accidentally, my shoulder hit his jaw and he knocked him out.
Who?
And the catcher, who was Baby Bolt, was his name, who was a real tough guy. He came over, he put his arm around me in the dugout to let everybody know. So anyway, so the next inning, I don't make this crap up. Okay. So the next inning, the guy gets whatever. So I come up to bat and the second baseman's name was Shake and Bake. And he goes, Black Bob goes, "Yo, Shaky, watch out for this dude, this mother bleeper. When he be running, he be mowing and smoking. I know."
Oh, my God.
True story.
You've watched The Longest Yard too many times.
Yes. All right. Before we move on, I want to talk about a career.
Yes.
Because people always ask. I'm thinking of this. I'm thinking of that. When they ask about radio, I try to steer them. No, I said, look, if you want to do it, come an intern here, get a feel for how it works. Would you encourage your son or your grandson now, I guess?
That's what I was alluding to. Yep.
I don't think I'd want my children to work in that environment. No.
Okay.
My brother was county sheriff for 24 years.
Yep.
Up in Michigan. Marquette, he was president of the Michigan Sheriff's Association.
Yep.
Okay. And his son was going into criminal justice, and he absolutely did not want him to be a prison guard and stuff.
Yeah. Well, like I said, for my son, unfortunately for him, anybody asks, where's your parents meet? We say we met in prison because my ex-wife now, she worked there.
My grandma did 2 years in federal prison.
She was
working?
No. On the good side? She was on the other side.
She was a con.
Oh, well,
kind of funny that we met in prison. I guess you got
to kind of. In Joe's book, though, there's several couples that, you create a family, things go work. It's tough. You work 60 hours, but in a way it was kind of nice because you can kind of understand what you're doing every day. So,
okay. All right. That answers my question. Yeah. Last one, and then we'll move on to racing. The prison, there's a lot.
I'm not moving on. This is too cool.
I thought we came here to talk about racing. All right. John can do what he wants. The prison has talked about being closed, and it's been debated for years.
Yeah.
It seems like it's getting some momentum now. There's some money set aside. It seems like both Republicans and Democrats. What are your thoughts on that?
I can't see it closing because I was a union steward for 9 years.
Oh.
I got to see some stuff from the Madison paperwork numbers and whatnot. This money's here. All of a sudden that money disappeared. So it's like, well, not in my business, but what's going on here. But I saw the upgrades going on in there.
Yes.
And major
upgrades.
That's what
major
said.
Dollars. Joe said the same thing. We were at a couple of those ribbon cuttings there, but yeah. That's an investment.
Yeah.
Okay. I just was curious.
To build a new one, where do you get the land? Where do you build a new one? And what's the future of corrections or, you know, or whatever incarceration? Because people are still going to make mistakes.
Oh, yeah. That
never stopped in my days.
No, I think the market's there.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. I mean,
okay. we're done with prison stories. You guys stay here.
I'm paroled.
Our next show, Mino's prison stories. You stick around. We still want to talk to you about NASCAR and a whole bunch of other things. Hey, Depre, this is awesome, man.
Thanks for
great
being
having
here.
You. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wow. He was sharing some stories.
This is great stuff, Dave Debris. Okay, let's talk roll racing right now.
Because that is really what you do now. You're going, 4 days a week, you said?
Average, yep.
For the NASCAR?
Yeah.
What's your favorite place to go?
Yeah. I love Miami.
Okay.
Because we can go down to the Keys, and we always look for a destination restaurant.
I heard Talladega's not as cool as it seems.
You haven't seen anything until you've seen Talladega Boulevard, the infield.
Okay.
The camping.
Crazy, huh?
There's concerts, there's stages. But being a part of it, we don't do that. We get our work done and we go home, back to their hotels. Or like this past weekend in Pocono, we had a ski resort lodge home.
Wow.
Our team stayed together. Hmm. Huge home.
Where do you have the craziest people? Fan-wise. Is it Talladega?
Well, as far as what's going on in the world today, Portland was pretty interesting.
Portland, Oregon?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've never seen more the drugs and some of the homeless stuff. It's sad. It really is. But it's everywhere. Like last weekend or 2 weekends ago in Mexico City.
Yeah.
They have 30,000 people homeless down in that city.
Does Jackson, Michigan still hold a race?
Yes. They were there just 2 weeks ago. We were off that weekend. They had the cup cars and the trucks were there.
Okay.
But going through Jackson, that prison there,
yeah,
you're talking about that.
That's
right?
A tough place, yeah, man.
When you have signs that say "Don't pick up hitchhikers,"
yeah,
and on both sides of the highway there's fence, and it's the prison,
yeah.
And I think there's like 20,000 guys incarcerated.
That's why I can't believe what's his name, the actor that we talked about, the comedian, he did Home Improvement.
Tim Allen
was in Jackson prison. Isn't that crazy?
That's where he had to go. I wonder how he survived. Telling jokes.
We were talking about that during the break.
Funny man. Where do you race locally in Wisconsin?
Now, if I have a time off, I'll go. Like I was in Eagle River. I went up with Joe a week ago. I went to Eagle River for the night. Then I got home from Mexico.
Hey, and I give Joe credit. He did that whole race and came back. Was here at 7 o'clock the next morning.
Yeah, we saw 28 deer on the way home.
Yeah.
But so locally, if I can go, WIR, because that's where I pretty much grew up watching and got my start officiating there. If I can get there, I haven't been there yet this year. But 141 Speedway.
Yeah.
I love that place. Joe and I used to do those in Tit Stefaniak.
That was just a fun group.
Yeah.
I wondered if
I never hear Joe, when somebody loses a tire, to say, you picked a fine time to leave me loose wheel. If I never hear that again, okay. I'm okay.
Or nothing good could come of this.
I know. Exactly.
I'm just wondering if you said the market's good, strong, but I'm wondering if there's you run like a come on back thing for those of us who used to go to racing. That we deal with kids and think,
yeah,
you know,
where's it at? Yeah.
Right. It just kind of dropped out. Where's football? I've stayed my whole life.
You got to put on a good show for people.
Yeah,
they want to come early and go home early. I've always lived with that. I've listened to Joe for years over this promotional stuff. And like, you want to get them to the track, make them enjoyable, but you don't want to go there and get like a dirt track. They don't want to go there and get totally covered in mud, hit with rocks, stuff. So you got to try to prepare everything properly.
I got to be honest with you. We actually stopped televising because the dust was so bad it was ruining our cameras and our equipment.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah. We were talking about, it's competitive now. I mean, there's so many things to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, like, my gosh.
Look at the paper, just, you know, for Saturday, a million things to do. And then there's this indoor football, there's outdoor. But they kind of entertain between quarters, between, you know, I mean, I say it's more. They're either throwing stuff out to the crowd or they're doing a band or a dance or something. Yeah. Even the Bucks, I think, you know, I don't know that they really need to do that, but that's a lot of fun to go to a game. They've really done a good job there, I think, at that arena.
But I'm just curious. Joe mentioned that, too, with racing. They've had to
try to
follow those.
To keep them entertained.
Our racing, people come. I mean, we deal with sponsors because the infield pass that people get, they get to come in. They see the trucks. They get to walk in by the garages, but interact by the cars when we do an adjustments. Like, there's certain times you're allowed to fire the motors up. They're there, and they're holding their ears. They're just in shell shock. But they're like, this is so cool. To give a kid a lug nut, you know, or the autograph cards, hero cards they call them. And the fans that collect stuff, they carry backpacks. But it costs the drivers and teams a lot of money for all these cards. And people take them and they sell them on the internet. I've heard about that. Yeah, there's a market for stuff like that. But every week I'm in a new shirt. It's like,
we're going to be sent into a break, but we want to talk more about the veteran project you guys are involved with.
That's great you're doing.
And thank you for your, the day after high school you signed?
Five days after high school. I was gone.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Where'd you go to high school?
Green Bay East.
Okay. Oh, and you signed up right, so you had it all planned.
Well, it wasn't college material. I got a letter of intent. They intended me not coming.
I got seven of those.
Wow.
So 5 days after high school, I was in the Air Force. My whole family served. My dad, uncles.
And then you lost an uncle.
Yep.
In the war?
Yeah, World War II. Wow. That was my dad's oldest brother.
Is that where your passion comes from?
Serving. And seeing the look on my grandpa's face when he saw us in uniform. My cousins that went in too, same thing. Yeah.
And that's impressive.
That's awesome.
Did you ever get stationed up at K.I. Sawyer?
I wanted to.
You know what happens up there? People from the south in different places get stationed there, and then they live there. Because they love that area around the lakes.
Yeah. I was up in Popple Creek deer hunting when I was in high school, and those jets came flying over to Woods.
The B-52s?
I think they were the F-4 Phantoms at the time.
We'd be playing a ball game, and a B-52 would be coming. We were in Gwynn. We'd be playing in Gwynn.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And the game would stop. The referees, the umpires, would call a timeout because everybody just wanted to stand and look at that thing coming in for a landing.
Yeah.
They were so amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I got a great stories on mine. I was in Ellsworth Air Force Base.
Wow. Good for you. Yeah. All right.
At the break, I'm going to ask you about...
Yeah.
What do you think's going on?
Yeah.
Don't record what we talk about during the break.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.